We are going to read Psalm 90. Find this on page 588 of your pew Bibles. Psalm 90. Hear God's word. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, forever you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days passed away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask God to bless us with his word. Father, as we come to your word again, open up our hearts and help us to receive it. Amen. We are back in Psalm 90 at our old year service. We looked only at verse 14. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. This one verse is perspective changing. While we often evaluate our day at the end of the day based on all the things that we have accomplished, this one verse teaches us to evaluate our day in the morning, based on how satisfied we are with God's love. Now I want to focus broadly on the entire psalm. We still won't be able to cover everything, but we will focus on one theme: approaching the new year with a right heart. Now, where do I get that theme from? Well, this is a psalm of Moses, and traditionally, this psalm has been viewed as being written during the time of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, or right after the wandering was over and the people were about to enter the promised land. As the people looked ahead to new beginnings, they would sing this psalm, which would give them some key reminders that would form their hearts before the Lord. We're not going to the land of Canaan, but we're heading toward heaven. And we do have a new beginning, a new start with 2020. What Moses brought their attention to as they marched into a new land is what we need to draw our attention to as well as we start a new year. These are things that help us start over, things that keep us focused on what really matters. Based on this psalm, I want to make 4 points. 4 things to remember as we start a new year. First, remember who our God is. Second, remember we are but dust. Third, remember we are sinners saved by grace. And fourth, remember that all blessings come from God. These four remembrances will shape our hearts and help us to keep trusting in our God and be humble in 2020. So first, remember who God is. So you look at verse 1, it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place for all generations. Moses reminded the people that the Lord is our dwelling place. And this was so important for the ancient people as they walked through the desert. They had tents to live in. They would stay in one spot for a while and then pack up their stuff and move on to the next location. It's hard to live when you don't have a permanent home. But the Lord was their dwelling place. All the rest, protection, and provision they needed was in God. So that would be important for them also as they entered the promised land. But with such a good land, it'd be easy to forget who God is. They must remember God is their dwelling place. And that's really what the promised land was all about. It's not God giving his people luxury to live in. It's about God giving his people a land which pointed ahead to the eternal land, to eternal life with God forever and ever. God is our dwelling place too. Where did we live in 2019? I hope we can say we lived in God. Where will we live in 2020? I hope we can say that we will live in God. When you go across the border into Canada and they ask, where are you from? You say, well, I live in God, not Linden. I wonder how that would go. There's been times where they ask me, where are you from? I panic and think for a moment, Linden. And they start asking all these other questions and they sometimes try to play tough guy. It's like, come on, just let me through. What would they say if you said, well, I live in God? God is the one we go to when needing rest. And he blesses us with far more comfort than a $1 million mansion. He brings us to rest in Jesus Christ and where we experience our sins forgiven. When we dwell in God, he feeds us with the best food. Jesus himself is the bread of life and living water. We have a spiritual nourishment that revives our souls. Christ is our permanent dwelling place. Our houses can easily be destroyed. A fire can ruin them, or if there's an earthquake, the house will topple down. But not so with Jesus. When we dwell in him, we dwell on the most solid rock there possibly could be. And if we dwell in the Lord, we have the best company ever. It's often said that a family makes a home. We say things like, a home is not just a building, a home is our relationships. Well, think about our home in God, the sweet communion, the sweet relationship that we get to have. God is there to speak to us his word. He hears all of our concerns, and he gives us a perfect love that can never disappoint. It's a dwelling place we want to be in. Sometimes we dread dwelling. We dread walking into a dwelling place. Maybe you go visit your relatives for a week, and you're excited to see them, but you're a little bit nervous. How will they receive me? How will they receive my kids? Will I really be accepted? My parents say the door is open, but is there really room for me? We don't have to worry about that with God. There is plenty of room for us. Even if we carry with us lots of baggage, there's tons of room. God's grace is big enough to handle any amount of trash from the past that we bring in. Every time we get home from work then, every time we get home from play, just think about this. In 2020, the Lord is going to be my dwelling. Another aspect of God highlighted is God's eternity. Look at verse 2. I love the flow of verse 2. It says, before the mountains were brought forth. And we're meant to think, okay, before the mountains was God. God is older than the mountains. In the middle part of verse 2, before God had formed the earth and the world. So God is older than the earth. Then we get to the last part of verse 2. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God has no age. He simply is and is beyond all time. He is eternal. He always was and will be. And remembering that God is everlasting to everlasting can greatly help us out. As another year goes by, we realize how quickly time passes and how many things change or could change. Mandy and I were talking about our favorite Chinese places. I don't know how in the world we got talking about that. Do you remember? No? Okay. And Mandy reminisced about a place called Hong Kong House in Lansing, Illinois. And if Marcia were here, I'd have to ask her, do you remember that place? Can you picture that place? Maybe not. It was a kind of a hole-in-the-wall Chinese place, but had the best shrimp fried rice, apparently. And I think I only ate there once, and I don't remember it. But we wondered as we talked, is it still there, Hong Kong House? So we did that Google Earth thing and zoomed in on that spot, and it wasn't there anymore. So we were kind of bummed. It just reminded us of how quickly or how many things change. And all the changes this year could be scary, but we can handle it because our God is eternal, and He's the one who doesn't change. He remains constantly faithful over all the years. These truths about who God is our dwelling place, God is from everlasting to everlasting, that forms within us a heart of trust. And these truths can help us to be calm in the face of the chaos in life. No matter what happens, we have a God to live in. And our God is eternal. Every day, then, can have a sense of home, sweet home. Second, we also remember that we are dust. So you look at verse 3, you return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. Then verse 5, you sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes, and in the evening it fades and withers. Our lives are short, aren't they? I'm almost 37. And I think once I turn 37, I can say I'm in my upper 30s now. So I'm mid-30s, then I'll be upper 30s. It's kind of scary. And we have a giant wooden ruler on our wall next to the middle floor bathroom. And there are marks on it for every birthday of our children. They've grown so fast. It was brought to my attention that one of the many things we can cherish about their age right now is we can give them gifts, and they love their gifts. Once they're 16, you can't give them gifts anymore, just gift cards, because they all want gifts that are $3,000. So we can enjoy just giving them whatever, and they're happy with it. We are trying to cherish those times because they are so short. It's healthy to contemplate our mortality. And the Bible's not trying to be all morbid and Debbie Downer. Contemplating this reality is good for us. It shapes a humble heart as we realize, however strong we think we are, we're not really that strong. However good-looking we think we might be, it's all going down the tubes anyway at some point. Our mortality reminds us that while we are all significant with our own gifts, we're not that significant. No one person is an essential gear that keeps the community, church, and world going. We are all replaceable. That's a good thing. And knowing this humbles us to accept other people more and their gifts. Thinking about our mortality makes the greatest of all Hollywood stars seem to us but mere grasshoppers. The busy, contentious, covetous world is just a heap of ants. Man may threaten us, but there will be no terror because they too will die someday. The world loses its enticement, and we even lose interest in the temptations that once assailed us. For example, why would anyone look at pornography when it's so fleeting? Why would anybody put their marriage in jeopardy and act so selfishly, knowing that time is so short? We want to be right with the Lord, pursuing Him always, not pursuing some sick idea of happiness. We will die. And in some ways, we're almost out of the world already. I have lived half my life. And all of us keep getting older. If not suffering from some disease ourselves, we see other people suffering different kinds of diseases. And if we see them suffer, we know that it could claim us at any point. Some of us have graves waiting to be our house. Someday, worms will feed upon our faces and bodies. Our lives are like an hourglass and will run out. Our time will be gone. Our souls will be released. And so what must we do? Walk with the Lord. Love Him. Keep the main thing, Jesus. Third, remember that we are sinners saved by grace. So you look at verse 7. It says, "For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you and our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all of our days pass away under your wrath." Moses is recalling wandering in the desert. And they had to wander until the entire generation died off of those who grumbled against the Lord and those who thought that they were better off in Egypt and those who thought we can never enter the promised land because nations are too powerful. The wandering in the wilderness was God's discipline for their sin. He's teaching them to trust in Him. And in that context, they pass away under God's wrath. Moses makes them remember this so they can be people who own their sin, confess their sin, and trust in the grace of God. Heading into 2020, we need to be aware of how sinful we are. I don't mean we get morbid about this, where we dwell on our sin and stay dwelling on it and get down in the dumps. Feel the guilt, feel the weight of sin, but then take that sin to Jesus and experience freedom. It's knowing our sin that opens us up to comprehend how great grace is. Jesus will be exciting to us the more we know that we are sinners saved by grace. Now, Paul knows his sin. He recalls how he trusted in himself at one point, and it was utterly sinful. Essentially, in Philippians 3, he said, "I boasted in being a Pharisee. I followed the law. I killed Christians." And then he says, "I have a righteousness, not of my own, that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection." One of the reasons why we lose our passion for Jesus is because we lose sight of the fact we are sinners saved by grace. And it's hard. It's hard to get a handle on how sinful we are apart from Jesus. Instead of saying all of our days pass away under your wrath, most of us are so successful, we could say all of our days pass under your favor because of all of the good choices we made. Not saying we do have that attitude, but we could. But on the contrary, the psalm teaches us our iniquities were ever before God. Every secret sin has been known by God. So we deserve his wrath. But instead, Jesus died on the cross to satisfy the wrath of God. Jesus gets punishment, we get grace. And if we can grasp that reality, we will have a humble heart in 2020. And we will have a heart captivated by how amazing Jesus is. And finally, remember that all blessings come from God. So verse 17 says, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. Here Moses teaches his people how to pray to God. And they needed this prayer because of what they would be tempted to do in the promised land. They would build farms, they would plant vineyards, raise animals, some would be successful, and it would be easy to attribute all success on one's efforts. And this prayer reminded them, God has to establish their work. All the fruit from our labor does not simply come from our work, but God who enables our hard work to bear fruit. All the fruit of our work, therefore, is from the grace of God. We cannot boast in ourselves, we boast in God. This means we go through 2020 trusting in the Lord to provide, asking the Lord to use our work. Where there is success, we give God the credit. Where there are setbacks, we are patient, waiting upon the Lord. We commit all things to God. We ask God to guide us. We say, my work or my business, it's not about me. It's not even first about my customers. It's about you, my great God. I don't know what lies in store for all of us in 2020. I don't know your future. I don't know my future. No matter what comes, we want to face things with the right heart posture to the Lord. We remember that our God is our dwelling place and that he is from everlasting to everlasting. We remember we are but dust. We remember we are sinners saved by grace. We remember all blessings come from God. Remember those four things. Hold fast to those truths, and we can have hearts that enable us to withstand the storms of life and hearts that enable us to rejoice and enjoy things that become even more joyful because we're viewing them through the lens of grace and what God has done for us. It's a heart that sweetens all of the joys we get to have on earth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you for your sovereignty, that you are the God who holds the future in your hands. You are from everlasting to everlasting. You are the God who blesses our work. You are the God who, in your sovereignty, enables our work to be frustrated. As we go through this year, help us to trust in you. Increase our faith so that we claim you as our own God and we dwell in you. Amen.